We're going to talk. I hope you brought your Bible because we're going to talk a little bit tonight. And I had to give them a title. And the title is Destination Disease. I know y'all looking at me because I know y'all know. I know a little bit about diseases. But this is called Destination Disease. You've got to, we're going to look from in the Old Testament. I'm going to try and move over to next. I'll try and be done by 8. But I just want to read a couple of verses. Then we're going to set the stages. It's going to be a familiar story. We're going to look at the Israelites as they come out of Egypt. First of all, let me set the stage. We know how they got into Egypt. But at the end of Genesis chapter 50, there is something interesting at the story comes to an end for Joseph. I'm just going to read it. I want you to listen to what Joseph had to say. Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from hence. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We know now after this story there rose a king Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. We know they put the children of Israel in heavy laden and bondage for a total of around 430 years. The Bible begins to tell us something interesting begins to take place. In Exodus chapter 3, the story says, they begin after a period of time to call out to God in chapter 3, verse 7, and it says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry for reason of the taskmasters, for I know how they sorrow. First of all, let me tell you something as you live for God. God is always watching over you. You don't have to worry about it. What did he tell me? He says, you know what? He already knew their reflection. He saw that. But what happened? He did not start to move until what? The children of Israel began to cry. Let me tell you something. You may have a need for God, but God is not going to answer until you bring it to him. I'm trying to help you today because we get upset sometimes because we don't bring something to God. Well, God knows I need this. Well, God is waiting for you to bring it to him. You know, if you have children, some of you to grow, you know children need something. Sometimes they need some food. Sometimes they need some money. And you may have a little bit in your pocket saved for them, but you're not going to give it to them until they do something about it. You're going to wait, and you're going to wait for them to come to you and say, I need this. Well, the children of Israel cried out because of bondage, and we know now something starts to change. God begins to move. Stay with me because I'm going somewhere because now God, we know God uses Moses. Moses. Now, see, here's an interesting story. Moses kills an Egyptian. Then he runs off. Let me tell you something. Why is that important? Because there is no sin in your life that's too hard for God to forgive you of. I'm talking to somebody tonight because I want you to understand something when I get to the other side. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard. You're thinking, well, God, you use Moses, but Moses killed a man. But God said, that's all right. I'm still going to use him. We know the story now, and we look around and say, now they get ready to go out of Egypt. We know all the plagues. So now the story begins to go. They get ready to leave Egypt. And guess what the Bible tells us? Everyone goes. I want you to remember that. Everybody in the Israelites decided. Nobody said, I want to stay in Egypt. Why I say destination disease? The world wants you to say it's all about the journey. It's all about the journey. But I wrote a little thing and I said, you know what? It's not about the journey. It's about the destination. It's about the destination. You got to get destination disease. Why do I say that? If you have a focus on the destination, this is what I wrote down. Focus on the destination and the journey will take care of itself. Focus on the journey and you risk the opportunity of missing the destination. Listen, when you get mad enough and you say, oh, you want something bad enough, you don't care about the journey along the way. You know what you want. I'm telling you tonight, you know what you want. I tell everybody, when I started medical school, I told the dean one thing in the beginning. I told Dean McComas, I said, you know what? I said, I'm not leaving without that degree. Listen, when you destination, he says, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. That's my destination. It's not about the journey along the way. It's about where do we end up at. Now, I'm going to get there because all of a sudden, we know God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, and they started making their journey. Understand something. When they come in, it's a three-day journey to the Red Sea. Now, they get to the Red Sea, and some, we all know the story. They look back, and what do they look up? The Egyptians are coming. Pharaoh. Let me stop right there because that's stop number two. When God is leading you somewhere, stop looking back. Oh, stop looking back. The devil always wants you to look back and say, you were like this. You did this. You did that. Well, you tell the devil, you're right, I did that, but I'm going forward. That's behind me now. My God is leading me on. Because look at the story. When they look back, what happened? What came over them? Fear came over them. Fear. Why are we so afraid of the past? Why are you so afraid of the past? Listen, do you not know the God you serve? I'm going to say something about the God you serve. I want you to get this tonight. Can I? Here we go. He is the only one that can forgive your past. He can pardon your past. He powers your presence, and he protects your future. Oh! Let me tell you about my God. My God can pardon my past. He powers me for the present, and he protects my future. You show me somebody else that can do it. I'm telling you tonight, the God you serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Oh, hallelujah tonight. Somebody got to understand and say, yes, he can. I can't do it, but my God can. Oh, hallelujah. You can be seated. So the Israelites are now making the journey. And guess what the Bible tells us? God went before them as a cloud in the day. Listen to me. He went before them as a cloud, guiding them. He guided them as a fire at night. So all of a sudden, the Egyptians show up. God can take care of them. He's not afraid of the Egyptians. Let me tell you something. Oh, you got to understand. There is nothing too hard for your God. So now, what did God tell him? He answered them. He didn't tell them. He said, listen, the Egyptians you see today, you will not see them again. Huh? He said, Brother John said, they gone. Oh, what do you say? They gone. They gone. That's right, God. Listen. Hey, can you give me Exodus chapter 14, verse 14? I want you to get this verse. Give me Exodus 14 and 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Oh, the Lord will fight for you. He tells them, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord is the God of battle. The God is a warrior that's been proven. And your battle is God. Your chief of your battle, let me tell you a little secret here. He has never, ever lost a battle. And he will never, never lose a battle. Oh, you got to understand. Your chief and commander, he can take care of everything. He just says, listen, I need you to understand. You shall hold your peace. In other words, don't start talking to yourself about what's going on. Listen. We talk ourselves out of more blessings than blessings we miss. We talk ourselves out of it. The first thing we start saying, he can't do it. I'm not sure God can do it. What does the Bible say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to him must believe he is a what? A what? A rewarder of those. He rewards those. Oh, you got to understand something. I'm going. So now they're there. The Lord's going to fight for them. They don't even have to do the fight. They're all scared. Let me hurry up. Now they get there and they get to the Red Sea. And Moses tells them, fear not, just stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And it's interesting. And the Lord said unto Moses, tells him to go forward. Go forward. See, sometime in life, we get like that. We stand still. We looking at it. God's there. And God said, go forward. And we like, but what about the water? What about that person over there? What about this situation? What about that? We just standing still, wringing our hands and fingers. You know what I tell people about that? The wickedism. That's like sitting in a rocking chair. You accumulate a lot of miles, but you don't go nowhere. Oh, yeah, you ain't going nowhere. You sitting there in that rocking chair going back and forth, and God telling you, get up and go forward. The victory is already yours. You just got to go get that victory. You got to go get it. He tells them that. He tells Moses, no, you got to go forward. The water's there. They're looking at the Red Sea. Guess what? God already has a plan. He's already told you what's going to happen to your enemy. Now you got to go forward. So God has made a way. We know the story. Moses raises the staff. The Red Sea parted. Now, this is amazes me. How God works. I don't understand how he parted the Red Sea. Do anybody know how he parted the Red Sea? I don't know how he parted the Red Sea. I'm looking at my little human brain trying to figure out how you part the Red Sea. That this one goes this way and this one goes this way. But more than that, I got a simple question for you. The Bible says they walked over on what? Dry land. Now explain to me how you part the waters and you look down the ground is dry. See, I'm telling you, your God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. See, I start thinking in this little mind of mine, and I can't comprehend how he does what he does. I'm telling you today. He said, he told me already, his ways are above my ways, and his thoughts are way above my thoughts. See, I'm trying to help you today that the God you serve is way above anything you can comprehend. Because let me tell you something, he is incomprehensible. He's incomprehensible. So now they get to the Red Sea. The Bible tells us they walked over on dry land. We know what happens to the Egyptians. What happened? They died. I got a question for you, Brother Sean. How come all of God's wheels fell off at the same time? So explain to me. I'm trying to figure out how the wheels, all of them fell off at the same time. A bad mechanic. No, that's worse than a bad mechanic. All the wheels, I'm talking to you, all the wheels fall off. The Israelites get to the other side. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's soldiers die. The Bible tells us now they're on the other side. And guess what they do? They stop and they celebrate. Look at it very carefully. The Bible tells us they start to celebrate. Let me tell you something. When God brings you through something, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to praise him. You praise God, you get more blessings. You praise God, and you get more and more blessings. So now they start to praise God. But the Bible tells us something begins to change. They go 3 days. Listen to Exodus 17, I'm going to give you verse 1. All of the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after the journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore did the people did chide with Moses? Now, the Lord done brought you out of Egypt. Then got rid of all Pharaoh's army. Done brought you through the Red Sea. And three, now you done praised him up on the mountain. Now do you have any water? And what do you start doing? You chiving at Moses. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. They wasn't chiving at Moses. You know, I'm going to tell you something. They were mad at God. Now, I'm going to go off script here, and I'm going to say something tonight, and you can get mad at me all you want to, okay? Oh, I got to wipe my head and wipe my mouth now before I say something. Let me tell you something. We got a Moses leading us, okay? When God shows a man, leads us, and tells us where we're going, let me tell you something. We don't be chiving at him. I'm telling you, we be supporting him because Moses was leading the children of Israel. Our pastor is trying to lead us where God wants us to go. I'm trying to tell you. Oh, don't get me started. You can have a seat. I'm going to hurry. I may not even finish. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you how to fix that problem. You want to answer? No, you don't button your lips. I got one for you. You ready? Stop complaining. What do? We start complaining. Okay? Do something different. Okay, start praying. I'm going to help you out. Stop complaining. Start praying. You want another part to go with that? Stop scrolling and start reading the scripture. You want another one? Stop having apathy and start some action. Start doing some positive action and things will start happening. Oh, I'm just talking to you tonight. Pastor, I don't know where he's taking us. Your job is not to be knowing where you're going. Just follow. Just support him. Because God's anointing is on him. Oh, I'm maybe meddling there, but that's okay. I get started. So now, 3 days later, they complaining. Because there's no water. Well, they chiving. And the people thirst. There was water. And the Bible says they murmured against Moses. Now, let me tell you something. They couldn't get themselves out of Egypt. Moses helped God use Moses to lead them out. Now they're complaining. 3 days later, they don't have any water. Guess what? And they get water. The Bible tells us they got water. I'm not sure how to give them water. I'd have been thirsty maybe another day to see how thirsty they really gonna get. Or better yet, let their mouth get so dry they can't even. You've been there, your jaw so dry, your tongue stuck to the top of your mouth, and you're thirsty. But what? God gave them water. God gave them water. You know, they go a little bit further, they start complaining again. Guess what? Well, they forget something. They start complaining. We don't have anything to eat. What do they start talking about? Every time they come across a situation, what's the first thing they say? We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. That's why focus on the journey is the wrong part. because everything sometimes starts to things starts to get a little hard. You start looking back like it was easier back there. It was easier back there. Let me try to tell you something. Anything in this lifetime worth going, it's going to cost you a little bit. Okay? I'm telling you today, there are some things that's going to cost you. But they kept saying, guess what? We want to go back to Egypt. Yeah. I'm trying to help somebody. Let me tell you something. That's like God delivering you, setting you free from something, and then life gets a little hard, and you say, well, I just want to go back over there, that old habit, and pick it back up. But we get like that. Because you know what? We want to stay on the mountaintop all the time. We don't want to come down to the valley sometime. I'm here today to tell you, if you're living for God anytime, there are going to be some high points, there are going to be some low points. But you can't live for God based on feeling. You ain't living on God, no feelings. You got to take them feelings. Let me tell you something. Them feelings, them emotions, they temporary. They'll trick you. They'll fool you. They'll get you in a whole lot of trouble. But I can tell you, you pick this book up, this book will keep you straight. This book will lead you where you want to go. This book will never fail you. It'll never forsake you. Oh, you got to stick with this book. You can be seated. But every time I'm looking at them, they start complaining. So 3 days out, they complain that we got no water. They go a little farther. The Bible says they got no food. I want some food. You know what water and food is? That feeds the flesh. Oh, yeah, I'm about to wade into some water now. You know why? That's why we struggle with fasting. Fasting is about the food and the water of the flesh. And fasting is not exercise to fast for long. He said 24 hours. 24 hours. That battle you locked in with that flesh for 20, just 24 hours. I'm telling you right now, when you start fasting, the enemy know you fast. It's amazing. You start smelling aromas and stuff that you normally ignore. And the worst thing that happens, somebody invites you out to your favorite restaurant to eat. And your first thing out of your mind is, why today? Why today, man? How could it be yesterday or it can't be tomorrow? And you're like, oh, man. You get down on yourself. You go get that little water. You start drinking that water, and you're mad at the water. The water didn't do anything to you. And I'm laughing because I do that sometimes, too. I start gulping the water. I don't drink it. I'm just trying to finish it. Like, I'm mad at it. I'm laughing because, you know what? Sometimes that water pays me back. You know what I mean? Let me tell you something. When you try and breathe and swallow at the same time, guess what happened? Disobedience leads to choking. I hate to tell you, you ain't never done that. Then it happened one time. And all of a sudden that water go down that windpipe. It's kind of funny because you're sure trying to get it up. I'm going to keep going. But see, they complaining. They complaining on the journey. Because, see, once they came out of Egypt, they thought they were going to be on easy street. We call it easy street. Easy street. Let me tell you something. If you're on easy street, you better get off that street. You better get off of easy street. Okay. You on easy street, you're going to slide right on down that hill. You know where that easy street taking you? Oh, yeah, there's a little hot spot waiting on you when you get down to the bottom of it. Okay. The reason I say it's easy street, I'm going to explain to you why it's easy street. Because if it was a hill and you had to climb it, it wouldn't be easy. You have to go climb a hill? It ain't climbing a hill, ain't no easy street. You huffing and puffing, your legs hurting, and you're trying to sweat, and you're trying to figure out how much further we got to go to get up here. But on easy street, it's easy to get down. I like to ride a bicycle. I like to go downhill. Because I can just hold position and tuck down and cruise on down. But then we got to turn around the hill. I'm just talking to you because I'm telling you. You go out by the old power plant, you got to climb them hills. Yeah, I don't know if you've been out that way, but you got to climb those hills. That's why I'm telling you, if you're on the easy street, you need to check your destination. Because I'm going to tell you the second part of the story. You read the New Testament, and none of them disciples walks into heaven. And I don't know why you think you're going to walk into heaven. I'm thinking I'm just going to walk in. You better go study them. What did Jesus say? Count the cows. Count the cows. So now they're out there and they're going through the wilderness, and they're complaining and murmuring and complaining and murmuring. I'm trying to get to something because I'm going to hurry up here because I want to get to something to try and explain something because I made some notes over here. I know we're talking because I need you to understand something. Think about this. I'm going to relate it to the New Testament now as I hurry up. So now they're in prison. Think about you in the New Testament. We were all in prison. Because let me explain something. What did David say? He was born in iniquity. He talks about sin deceiving him. Let me tell you something here. We were all prisoners to sin. Okay? Let me. By the time you even figure out what sin really is, you are already a sinner. So let me tell you something. So number one, you're already a prisoner to sin before you ever figure it out. What does the Bible say? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all sinners. We all prisoners. Guess what? The Israelites were all prisoners. What's the second thing I made a note on? The Israelites could not save themselves. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to flip it over. I'm going to the New Testament now, because here's the reality. You cannot save yourself once you sin. And let me tell you the second part of the story. Ain't no use in going out to act like them crazy people sacrificing animals and stuff, because I'm going to tell you something. That ain't going to get you to heaven. It didn't work in the Old Testament. It ain't going to work in the New Testament. Okay? But you can't. Number one, we all are sinners. Number two, I said, we cannot save ourselves. Number three, to the Old Testament, God sent a man of God, that Moses. Okay? Sent Moses. And let me tell. Okay, let me try and explain this. So we know the burning bush. Okay? Moses sees the burning bush. What does Moses have to do? Moses turns aside to look at the burning bush. Now, let me take that to the New Testament. Your pastor, my pastor, passed up a lot of things to become our pastor. Okay? Just as Moses had to turn aside, I know he had to turn aside a lot of things. Okay? You got to understand, he had to turn aside something. And I'm going to follow this up with another thing. Do you ever stop and think how much his family has to give up? We think about us. We think about us. But we ever stop and really think about him and his family? Nowadays, Brooklyn's gone, so I think about Lauren, Daniel, Cole. And I especially think about Sister McCoy. Okay? I'm trying to tell you, be nice. Look, I'm going to say it. Then you can, Pastor can correct me. if you have, you hear anybody saying something bad about your pastor, let me rephrase that, about my pastor, my pastor's wife, and my pastor's family, you ought to turn to them and say, shut your mouth. If you don't like them, get out of here. Because as for me, listen. I'm trying to tell somebody. Don't start that mess. Don't ever start. You can be seated, but never start that mess. Go ahead, you can sit down. Can I prove it to you? Why you don't go there? See, a little bit later in that story, in the book of Exodus, Miriam and Aaron started murmuring against Moses. Y'all remember that story? What happened? They murmured because he married the Ethiopian. Read the story very carefully. This is what danger is. What does God do? God calls Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to come out of the camp. Okay. Poor Moses, he don't have a clue what's going on. And what does God tell? Look at Aaron and Miriam and say, listen. He tells them, you raise yourself against Moses. What happened to Miriam? She got leprosy. Oh, yeah, she got leprosy. You know that story? Aaron got scared. She got leprosy. And guess what happened? Moses, the man of God, got to ask God. It's interesting. I'm telling you, that's why you got to be careful. See, Moses didn't know what's going on. But see, when you murmured against your pastor, you don't know God's listening. God, listen. That's dangerous water. That's dangerous. Listen, if they won't stop, don't walk away from them. Run away from them. Get away from them. I'm just telling you. You don't like that version? Go talk to Korah. Go talk to Korah. Or what happened? The ground opened up. Now think about Korah. The ground opens up, spoils his family. They still alive. They didn't even get to die. I'm trying to hurry along the line because I'm trying to get you to understand you need your pastor. You think about saving yourself, you can't save yourself. I made a note, you know what? They had, in the Old Testament, they had the Red Sea for water. You know what that means in the New Testament? You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. It ain't just some any water. I'm telling you right now. I said, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name. The washing away of your sins. What does the Bible say? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature. What do you do when you come up out of that water and you know your sin's been washed away? You don't sit there nonchalantly. You know what you do? You raise your head, you start praising God. If you a prisoner and they open the gates and let you out of prison, they open that gate, you ain't just walking like, I'm just getting out of prison. You don't do that. You know what you do? You raise your hands, and you don't walk. You start running because you think they may make a mistake. I'm getting out there before they close their door again. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of here. I got a chance to get my sins washed away. I'm getting out of here. I'm not waiting. I'm praising the Lord because he made a way of escape for me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to you tonight. He made a way when that's you. I was no way. I'm telling somebody. Now, once you start going, yes, there's some things going to come along on your, I call it that journey to your destination. But let me give you a simple line. that I tell people. I'd rather be a free man in the wilderness than a slave in Egypt. What people say, well, I don't like those rules. I don't like those rules. Yet, they're the same person who drove the church and stopped it all, the man-made rules. They didn't run through every stop sign. They didn't run through every red light. But I don't like those rules. Why you don't like rules? See, the person, the individual who's in love with Jesus doesn't see it as rules. Let me tell you something. You don't see it as rules. Okay. I'm trying to give you a visual here. If you went to the top of a 1,000-foot cliff and they had a gate up, okay? They had a fence up, okay? Why do you think that fence is there? Okay? That fence is there. You wouldn't say, well, I don't like that rule. I'm just going to go around that fence. And there's always, every year, there's somebody who decides, okay, I'm going to go around that fence and have a look. That fence is there for a reason. Okay? You ought to be glad the pastor put a fence up. Okay? You ought to be glad. He put the fence up because he cares enough about you to let you know. Let me tell you something. You don't always understand because in that wilderness, he already knows there's bears and lions and tigers. Okay? He doesn't want you to get eaten. You want to talk about the cliff? You know what I say about the cliff? You don't have to go to the edge of the cliff to know it's a long ways off. Damn. Because let me tell you a little secret. Once you start falling off that cliff that's 1,000 feet, ain't nothing to worry about now but the landing. Okay? That's why it's there. That's why he's got a fence up to protect you. Okay? What else did I write down on my sheet as I hurry to a close? You got to understand, we don't hardly sing this song anymore. My time is up. I got to hurry up. Okay? We used to sing that song, "It's Going to Be Worth It All." See, you got to sing that song to yourself. It's going to be worth it all. I'm telling somebody tonight, just stay in the church. Listen to me. Just stay in the church. See, I'm going to close because I'm trying to tell somebody there are bears and lions and tigers in the woods. And I don't know where I come up with all these crazy things. I'm going to give you one more as I close. Most of the bears and lions and tigers in our lives are other human beings. Okay? Listen to me. I'm going to give you this because I wrote this. It's kind of crazy as I close. Always think about this. The unrighteous tempt the righteous to become unrighteous. The unrighteous tempts the righteous to become unrighteous. When the righteous refuse, the unrighteous becomes upset. Listen to what I'm saying. The unrighteous, those are bears, lions, and tigers. But they just happen to be in flesh. Because they're trying to tempt you to get away from God, to become like them. Remember, how did the serpent tempt Adam and Eve? Well, you can be just like him. What does the world want you to do? They want you to become just like them. You can stand. I don't know what pastor wants to close. I'll do it. Listen, stand up. Well, I'll close this tonight because I need somebody to get a hold of Destination Disease that says, I'm not giving up. until one day, where the song goes, when I wake up in the land of where? When I wake up in the land of glory. I'm going to what? I'm going to tell the story of how I did what? How I overcame. Oh, I want somebody to be able to sing. Okay, I want you to be able to sing. I want you to be able to sing that song. We used to talk about, you know what? I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. So we got to get back to reminding ourselves, I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. You know, we sing a song, when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. I'm going to fly away. That means I'm flying away. I'm not crashing down. I'm flying away. One glad morning, when this life is over, I'm going to do what? You're going to fly away. I want everybody to go together. When the children of Israel left Egypt, guess what? All of them left. I want everybody here to go with us. We want to go together. Listen, we're just practicing here now. When we get to heaven, we're really going to worship. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I want you to stay in this fight and realize the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's battle, not yours. Just yours. Your job is just to trust him. Just to trust him. What is Proverbs? We talk about 3:5 say, trust in the Lord with all the heart. Four things. Trust in the Lord with all the heart. Number two, lean not upon their own understanding. Number three, in all their ways, do what? Acknowledge it. And what will he do? He will direct their path. Listen, tonight, when you walk out of here, I don't care what's going on. You stay faithful. You trust the Lord. Shall we pray as we close? And I'm sorry for being over. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, there is no God like you. You alone are worthy of the glory, the honor, and praise, O Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together once again, O Heavenly Father, to draw strength from you, O Heavenly Father, to draw strength and encouragement from each other, O Mighty God. For we're all bound together as one family, O Heavenly Father. Lord, we need you tonight, O Lord, to go with us and keep us and guide us, O Heavenly Father. Father, when the way seems hard, Father, let us lift our eyes up unto the hills from which cometh our help. Our help coming from you, O Heavenly Father, who created the heavens and earth, O Heavenly Father. Lord, we give you praise and glory today. Thank you for hearing our words, O Heavenly Father. Lord, keep us safe with your guardian angels till we come again into this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.